David Harris, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And your good self?
Excellent, thank you. So ISIS and Al-Qaeda, the competition is fierce, or so it would seem. Tell us about it. I mean, how do, you know, are they, do they talk, do they go to industry conferences where Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, ISIS, everybody gets together and swaps papers and stuff?
There are gatherings or contacts between various people. Don't forget, certain of the leaders are in hiding. Take, for example, Nasrallah of Hezbollah, another lovely guy who's popped his head above the parapet over the weekend. So they can't physically meet one another, but there are clearly contacts. Right now, Hezbollah and Hamas are bosom buddies. That, you know, may or may not last. I guess in many ways, the two of them are in competition to get the dollars from the Iranians. But yes, there are clearly times when various terrorist groups have shared interests and they will liaise. Occasionally you will find that they jointly take part in operations, perhaps most notoriously in the case of the Palestinians, and it made it much harder than for the Israelis to say who actually did it, because there were multiple claims of responsibility. So who do you go after? And the current Israeli policy is to say it's Hamas's fault, because Hamas controls the Gaza Strip and any terror attack coming out of that area is their responsibility, which is a standard Israeli line, by the way, with regard to Lebanon and Syria as well, that they hold responsible the governments of those places for not being able to control their own territories.
So, okay. So Israel holds them responsible. But are we seeing, we have it in the West. I think we've got this almost naive, response, and we've kind of spoken about this before, certainly to Meira, where we think, well, Al-Qaeda is the more, genteel of the ISIS versus Al-Qaeda terror organization. Is this done deliberately by them with regard to their image?
Absolutely. There is, first of all, Al-Qaeda to this day continues to carry out deadly terror attacks. It also supports other organizations that are, that are working on its behalf. But yes, it is, posturing. It is, seeing, the response to ISIS in the outside world, and it figures it has to offer an alternative, narrative, if you will. But I think, to some extent, we're saying this upside down. Don't forget, of course, Al-Qaeda is the older organization. It's an offshoot from the Muslim Brotherhood. It believes, we talked a couple of weeks ago about this idea of gradualism, that we should, that it doesn't matter if the caliphate doesn't, you know, that South Africa doesn't become a caliphate overnight. We're happy to wait for 100, 1,000 years. It will come, inshallah, you know, God wills it. The attitude of ISIS, which came out of was also an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, the attitude of ISIS is very much, we're not going to wait, we're sick of waiting, we want our caliphate now, and we're going to do whatever it can. It doesn't matter whom is affected by the carnage, whether they are Christian, Jew, or Muslim, but we are going to do whatever we can to get that caliphate. And that has very much worked in Al-Qaeda's favor, because ISIS has become this hated organization, and behind the scenes, Al-Qaeda has been able to very quietly develop itself.
It's really fascinating. Are we seeing the same amount of success, in inverted commas, in from both of these organizations?
During the course of last week, at Clarion Project's website, we put together an infographic, an informational piece, talking about the numbers of members that the two organizations have. Whilst it's incredibly difficult to get an accurate figure, we can assess from various military reports, from the comments of the organization themselves, and come up with a rough idea. And we think that both organizations have pretty much similar numbers. So from that perspective, you know, there is an equity between them. Clearly, ISIS is in decline in the area that it labeled itself the caliphate. Whereas I don't think these days you can say, you know, Al-Qaeda has a particular stronghold. It's more sort of spread out, with the exception of Afghanistan, where it's very supportive of the Taliban to this day. But in terms of longevity, I would imagine that Al-Qaeda's name will be around a lot longer than ISIS.
Do we know what the sense of those numbers is? I mean, how many people?
Tens of thousands, 40,000-50,000 each.
Very, very interesting. Tens of thousands. And how do you define, somebody who's part of the organization? It's obviously not a sympathizer. It's somebody who's active in it.
Right, exactly. So, and it also doesn't include, for example, those people in the West who have carried out or are planning on carrying out terror attacks in the name of one organization or another. You know, unless we know of an actual cell of ISIS or Al-Qaeda operatives, then we don't include those in the count. These are people who are, you know, wearing military fatigues, are operating the schools, are in their financial departments, and so on. People who are actually, if you will, on the payroll of those two organizations.
Right. And of course that makes ISIS a little bit different in that way, because they've got more of these inactive so-called people from all around the world who they might not even know are associated with them.
Right, absolutely. These are people, the word that the West tends to use is inspired. People are inspired by these organizations. Yeah, that's absolutely the case. And I don't think that their number is a massive number, but it only takes, as I always say, one or two people to carry out a major terror attack. I mean, if you think about 9/11, yes, of course, there were lots of people involved in the planning, but on the actual day of the attack, you're talking about a handful of people who managed to kill almost 3,000.
Right. Do we know which is the world's largest, world's largest terror organization?
So I would argue that the world's strongest, if I can sort of change the slant a little bit, the world's strongest terror organization, in my opinion, first of all, is the state of Iran. But in terms of a non-state operator, is Hezbollah. You're looking at an organization that has anywhere up to 150,000 rockets and missiles at its disposal. That is a tremendous amount. They are, you know, involved in drugs operations in Africa and in Latin America. They've got cells all over the place. You're talking about an organization that has the backing of Iran and the full backing of Iran, that is operating freely in both Syria and in Lebanon, and in the case of Lebanon, essentially controls what the government can and cannot do. There is no other terrorist organization that has that type of strength.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely fascinating. This is where we love and leave you. Time is 8:58. That was David Harris from the Clarion Project. Go and look at their website to get an update on all issues related to terror.